just stand to your feet and just continue to give the Lord praise and thanksgiving for His great love? It's a good time to think of His grace and His mercy and His favor for us. Our focus this entire weekend, and I've felt it in this service, is about the world, and that's appropriate. But we're a part of that world. We're one of the billions of souls that are in this world. And so today, because of God's grace and what we've experienced, out of all of those billions, if anybody should thank the Lord for the shedding of His blood, if anybody should thank the Lord, if walls of jasper could have bought it, gates and streets of gold and pearl could have purchased it, but it couldn't bring the peace that you and I feel here today. It couldn't bring the freedom that you and I feel here today. Would you just really, with a great outburst, I'm talking about from the depth, I'm not worried so much about the volume, but the depth of a thanksgiving, Lord, for Your blood, for Your salvation, O Lord, for Your salvation, Lord. Oh, thank You, Jesus. That's it, church, that's it. We're redeemed. You paid redemption's price. Yes, You did. And we're blessed to be here today. God is doing great things. Hannah and Kevin have a friend that God is revealing Himself to, Chris. They had their first Bible study this week. You see, missions is all around this world. It's here in St. Louis. It's here in our homes. It's across the waters in the UK and down in Central America. It's all around this world. Last week, Sister Christy Lindsay sent me an email. Prayer was made. I believe it was for a nephew, right, Sister Christy? And he had a cyst behind his knee. It had been there for several days. She and her sister and others began to agree together in prayer. And the sister examined that knee the other day, and there was no cyst. There was no form of any kind of a growth that was there. God had taken it away. Our God is a healing God. Hallelujah. And if you need healing, He can heal you right now, today. You never know. You never know. You never know. And last Thursday night, we had the blessing and the privilege of baptizing Brother Justo in the name of Jesus. Brother Justo, there you go. I was going to ask you to lift your hand. I didn't even have to. Hallelujah. 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 He was re-listening to the service. And as we were listening, he said, right there, that's it. That's when God pricked my heart. That's when God stirred my soul. His Spirit is in this place right now. God can do the miracle. He can do the miracle. Neither one of them will mind me saying, Sister Paula told me, she said, I had prayed for 30 years. Don't stop praying. Hear me today. That's a word for somebody. It's simple. Don't stop praying. Don't give up. Our God is my Savior. He's my deliverer. He's your provider. He's a great God. He's a great God. When we visited Life Church in Glasgow, Scotland, and several that are here have been there, our various ones that are here, I felt like I was standing spiritually on 6 to 10 feet of concrete, because there is a solid work of God and a solid church in Glasgow, Scotland. There was none 35 years ago when our friends of this church and Bible school associate, fellow youth group member, Geraldine Kelly and her husband, Bob, went to the nation of Scotland. There was only one or maybe two other churches at that point in time. But that Life Church in Scotland, in Glasgow, Scotland, is a strong apostolic church founded upon the doctrine. And in all honesty, they have not had the thousands, at least at one time, to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost as you hear in other parts of the world. But I'm going to tell you, and I'm believing for that to happen, Brother Kelly, also. But that evidently isn't God's order, because if it was His order at this particular time, the investment that these people have made in the kingdom of God would certainly be worthy of literally millions coming in. People have, as you saw today, scores of graduates have come and have gone forth. And thank you, Brother and Sister Kelly, as young 30-year-olds. I know God didn't call all of us over there. I know that. But when I think about our friends and what they've committed to the Lord, I start doing this. In fact, when they were in a bit of a challenging time, not a long while back, their children were coming to need to deputize here in the States. And then some of the folks that assisted them in the Bible college had a shift in their ministry. And I felt some of the weight of what they were feeling. I started thinking to myself, I need to pay back a debt over there. I was wanting to be a replacement over there. And part of that is because of the commitment that these people have made. They didn't do it to make anybody feel guilty, and I don't know that it's guilt that I feel, but a high level of respect for some of my peers that have said yes to the work and the will of God. I honor you today, Geraldine and Bob Kelly, for a commitment, first of all, to God and to His truth. And we are very honored to have these folks with us. I know that many of you know them and you already love them, and some of you are just coming to know them and beginning to love them. Thank you for coming to be with us, Brother and Sister Kelly. And we want Him to open His heart.
Thank you, Pastor Williford. And can we just clap unto the Lord? Clap our hands unto the Lord. He is worthy of all praise, all glory, of all adoration. Our mighty God and Savior. It's kind of hard to follow that. I appreciate His very kind words. And we esteem our pastor, not yours, our pastor. And some of you do and some of you don't know. They are our pastor and his wife. We appreciate their friendship, but also their leadership as pastors to my wife and I. And his open and honest that I can call and talk to him, and he'll share his heart and make me aware of what I should or shouldn't do. And also, Brother Sladen, I chose somebody close to the office. So if they had to run and intercede or run defense, they wasn't too far away. They could run them to global missions. But my wife and I do count it a great honor to be here with you. And I know she has already said that. Brother Sister Sladen, our General Missions Director for the Global Missions Department. Also, Brother Sister Williford, Brother Sister Reaver, the church staff. My wife has said this stuff, and she said, I told you I'll say that and take care of it, but I'm in the pulpit now. Amen. But I got to, okay, when I'll go home, she'll take care of me. But it's an honor to be here with you in your missions conference. When it came to our attention to be here, we really felt it a great honor to come, and we've enjoyed just spending the time that we've had with your leadership and with many of you. Can I just encourage you, last evening, it was really powerful. And as we were just walking around here praying, I thought, if individuals that are in this room can really catch the power of their prayer life, that you can open doors in nations that you may never go to. You may never know it. You may say, who, me? Yes, you. Your contact with God not only affects this area, but God is instrumental in using some of you opening doors where you will never know until you reach the portals of glory and the rewards of heaven are being given out. It's oftentimes focused on the individuals who go and who are there, but people like you pave the way for us. My pastor, Brother Harper Rose, when I was a child and my dad assisted him, he always prayed that God would send someone back to his country. And he entered into a life where his mind began to go, and little did he know that God was going to send somebody from his church back to his country. But his prayer every day was, God, send someone to my nation. And he was from Scotland. Your prayers are powerful. I want to encourage you as you pray from right here in St. Louis and Missouri and North America, continue to pray for the other parts of the world and you're going and you're giving. And also Sister Amber coming over. Where did she go? Oh, there she is. Amen. And being here teaching, and Brother and Sister Williford and Brother and Sister Reaver, I want to say thank you for coming and ministering and teaching there in the Bible College. Now, there's a lot I could say, but our time is of essence, and I realize there's a lot of other great things to take place. But I want us to turn, if you would, please, to the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. Now, if my wife and I feel really, or if we look really clean tonight, you know, there are just some things in life that happen to you. You just like, this happens to other people, not us. But yesterday, my wife was determined that our car needed to be washed. So we were driving around. We're looking for, you know, a place that we could drive our car through. And I said, it's too cold, you know. Places aren't going to, you know, be washing cars now. And so we persisted. So we found a place, and they opened the doors, and they allowed us to go in. And Brother Jeff, I couldn't remember if we had to pull the mirrors in on that thing. Because sometimes you do, and, you know, like on the car, you got to pull the mirrors in and go through the car wash, or it could pull them off. And so I have my window down. I already put the coat in. And my wife said, you better get that window up. The mirrors won't come in. So I'm out there pulling, and then I realize it's not happening. And all of a sudden, the foam starts to fly. It looked like it snowed inside. My wife's hair was full of bubbles and foam. She's going, my hair. Foam all over us, you know. It's been pretty serious thus far. We better have a little laughter along. I thought, no, this doesn't happen to us, but it did, but we got the car clean, and we look clean as well. Amen. So if we had that clean look. Did you ever tell some people they need to walk through a car wash? Well, we drove through one. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 6. Keep looking for the clock up there. I better look here. Verse 46. Why call ye me Lord, Lord? Luke 6, verse 46, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house, dig deep, laid the foundation on a rock, and when the flood rose, the streams beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on a rock. Why call you me Lord, Lord? But whoever cometh, heareth, and doeth the sayings, I'm going to show you what kind of an individual they're going to be like and what will take place. Thank you, Lord, for your incredible presence we feel. Thank you for these people here, Lord, and what they represent for your cause and kingdom, what you have done through them, what you are going to continue to do through them. Lead us these moments we have. Speak to us, Holy Ghost. Let us be strengthened and renewed. Speak to our hearts as you so would. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing today. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all the kingdoms of my heart. In my heart are kingdoms of a world that's all my own. Kingdoms that are only seen by myself and God alone. In the past, when I try to rid myself of this world and its goods, it just seemed to fall apart. So Jesus be the Lord of all the kingdoms of my heart. I guess I only fooled myself, for I said I'd yield it all. But in the secret corners of my heart was a kingdom that did not fall. I surrender now. Make my heart your throne. Lord, rule its kingdoms, great and small. For if you're not Lord of everything, then you're not Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all the kingdoms of my heart. He said, why call me Lord, Lord, and not again do the things which I say? There is a little cliche we use sometimes at home, and no doubt you say it here, but oftentimes we will say as we gather together, it's great to be in the house of the Lord. And Sister Amber may remember as well as others that's been around. Often I will then say, if this is the house of the Lord, let us allow him to be Lord of the house. It is a cliche that we can often use, but the reality is sometimes it is a little more challenging to actually put that into practice. If I invited you into my house, and as you were as a guest in my house, and when you would walk through the doors, I would use the term, just make yourself at home. Now, in saying that, make myself, or you make yourself at home, sometimes we know that there is the unspoken boundaries that are kind of established. But if somebody walks into our house and after visiting for a while, we told them when they came in, make yourself at home, that they really begin to accomplish that task. As they had their cup of tea and biscuit or the coffee or the cake that you were going to serve and the conversation began to wane just a little, the individual that came in and you said, make yourself at home, and they've already kicked their shoes off, maybe brought their slippers with them and put them on, and maybe even when they came into the house, they didn't ask, Pastor, what's the chair that you sat in? They just went and sat in your chair. After a while, just even sitting in the chair and enjoying what you fed to them, that eventually they kind of got up out of the chair and said, yes, it's been a day with a lot of ice that's going around. And as the conversation begins to unfold, they begin to rearrange some things in the house. They kind of move the chair that they were in. I don't think it really looks good there. And they begin to move it over here. And not only do they begin to arrange some of the furniture in the lounge area, but they go to the dining room and you got your china over there. And why not? And they begin to shift things around. And no doubt you might be going around like, hey, what is your problem? They may say, well, you told me to make myself at home. And when I got in here, there's just some things that just really don't kind of line up. They don't have the feng shui kind of thing. And you know, I'm kind of skilled at kind of just setting things up. And since this is going to be my home and the liberty that's going to be exercised, you know, no doubt most of us could get quiet just like you're doing right now. You kind of say, well, I, you know, when I said make yourself at home, I kind of, you know, this, you know, you're kind of lost for words, which would be amazing for some folks to be at lost with words. But they were really just taking you at face value. No, I don't advocate that. Please don't go to somebody's house and do that because they said it. And again, they took it at face value that maybe when you said just make yourself at home, what they begin to do, you may have felt was kind of rude in doing that. And you may never invite them again. Or if you do, we're so glad to have you here as you go into the lounge. But you exclude, again, make yourself at home. Us men learn real quick, and most of us don't want to admit it, but it really is true. We really know our limitations, too. We may say, this is our house, but dare you go move some things in the house, you may find out who the house really belongs to. My wife is very, very important with China and all of those finery things. And I have to make sure that when it's done and I'm helping her to put things away, it is put in a place that she has chosen, even though I may have an opinion of where else it needs to go. And I may even say, but this is my home and my house as well. But that's all right, honey, but this is where it's going. You see, it's so likewise when the Lord Jesus Christ comes in. We begin to say that He is the Lord of the house and we want Him to be Lord of our life. And we know that when the Lord begins to work in our life, there is that gentle touch of the Holy Ghost. I've often found and known that the Lord is a gentleman. He does not come in just knocking things over, although sometimes it probably would be good in our life. But there is the gentle touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I really felt in the Holy Ghost. It was even last week when I was in a conference of Breaking the Chains in Oslo, Norway, that God just kind of dropped this in, that I was to speak it this evening. And as I begin to think, when the Lord walks into our life, and we want Him to be Lord of all, that when He moves in to the kingdoms of our heart and our life, there are some things that need to be rearranged. There are some things that need to be shifted. There are some things that need to be brought in, and there's some things that need to be taken out of our life. I am so thankful for the gracious God and Savior that He is. He doesn't just come in and just boot things out and brings in, but He awaits for the consent of you and I, this eternal almighty God that even gives us the breath in which we are breathing. He allows us to make the choice whether we will agree or whether we will take things out or put things in our life that He is wanting to do. Jesus be the Lord of all. It's a song that was written years ago, but the meaning of the song is still so true today. Jesus be the Lord of all the kingdoms of my heart and my life. You see, He takes us at our word more than we take Him at His word. When we tell Him we want Him to be Lord of our life and Savior of our life, and those nudges that come into our life to follow Him and to allow Him to bring in what He wants to bring in, He says, I can fix that. I can take care of that. We can work on this together. And as we acquiesce, as we submit to that leadership of Him, He does things great and wonderful. Because as the writer Luke here says, whosoever cometh and heareth these sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. And then he begins to say, the man which built his house again and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock, and when the flood came and again the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it. It could not shake that. You see, when we allow the Lord to really be Lord of our life and every area of our life, when the storms of life are assailing us and the flood waters begin to rise and the wind begins to beat upon us, it cannot shake us. It cannot move us away, because we are built on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ and of His kingdom. Oftentimes we feel that if we would acquiesce to that, it would bring damage to our life. There is a thinking sometimes in Christianity, if we lose it, using that term loosely, that if we allow the Lord to bring into our life what He wants to bring, it will bring damage, it will downgrade, it will not lift us up. But we forget when we came to the Lord, we were damaged goods. We were in broken pieces. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He's done something beautiful in my life. You see, God does not degrade. God lifts up. God does not destroy. He brings life. God does not embarrass. He walks with us. God lifts us up. When He's in our life, we've got the greatest friend, Savior, and God that we can have within our life. Jesus be the Lord of all the kingdoms of my life. Could it be that I just really felt again in the service and the Holy Ghost speaking and moving and the focus is on missions? But could it be that the Lord is wanting to kind of step in our lives individually and saying, if we'll just shift this a little, if we'll just let this unfold in your life, if you'll let me just remove this, there's some things I want to bring into your life. There's some things I want to do through you and in you that will not only affect you, but those in your community, those in your city, those in the state, those in your family, even those in the world. Can I challenge you? Don't be afraid when the Lord speaks to you in prayer, when the man of God is bringing the word and the word convicts you, that you respond to that, because what God is wanting to do, it only makes us a better person, a better believer, more effective in this day in which we are living in. It could be that the Lord may begin to speak to some. If have not, if you just kind of move your time frame just a little bit, you could be effective in home Bible studies. If you'll just kind of move this over here, you could be a better prayer warrior than you are already. If you just begin to move this over here, I could take you for 6 months on a mission trip somewhere. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. He didn't say I couldn't do it, but you know, God just could do that. He could just rattle your cage a little and get you fed up with some things about what you're investing your life into. And God is just saying, if you'll just kind of put it on hold just a little. Now we talk about that. Give your pastor, you may have to resuscitate him. But what would happen if somebody here in this church, because God said, if you'll just rearrange things just a little, I'll take care of you, that you walk up and say, Pastor, I'm going to take 6 months off work, or I'm going to do this. I have leave. I can do it. I've got months of holiday time. I'm going to take off and I want to commit it to the church. What is it? 911? What's the number you call here? You may have to call 911. Oh God. Just kidding. You folks give a lot of time already. What am I saying? Who knows when you begin to prioritize, and when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords says, look, where you feel you're going to fall short, I'll make up the difference. Give God a chance in our life to show what He can do. He waits to say, I want to show you what I can do in you. I want to show what I can work through you, but you got to let me in. You got to give me the opportunity to do that. Aha. Yeah. Hallelujah. Give God a chance not only to fill you with His Spirit and to remove the sin of your life and to have His name on us in baptism, but give God a chance to show you what He can do through you as you submit unto Him every area of your life. It's interesting, it's different. Oftentimes we think it's finance, we think it's time, it could be people, it could be family. It's a multitude, but I just feel in the Holy Ghost, God's going to come and touch some areas tonight and maybe bring to revelation some areas you didn't know you had shut off to the Spirit of God. But if God says, if you'll just open that door and let me move into that area and move some things out. James says, but be ye doers of the word and not just hearers only. You see, just because we can hear a good message, and I'm not saying I'm preaching a good message, your pastor does awesome. Just because we hear a good message, but we don't follow it, it's not going to cause us to grow. We've got to respond to the word and respond to the touch of the Holy Ghost. I read a statement some time ago, and I keep referring to it now and then. There's many times that we mark our Bible when somebody's reading it. And I like this scripture, but my thing is, my Bible needs to mark me more than I mark the Bible. It needs to leave an imprint in my life that not only am I aware of it, but others see Christ working inside of me. It was Jacob that ran and ran and ran until finally he had that encounter with God. And when that encounter was finished, not only was his name changed, but he walked a different walk. We hear it a lot, but folks, he walked a different walk. I've seen it happen in the lives of young people at the Bible college. They come with some dreams and aspirations, and that's all right. But I've seen it happen again and again. again, Brother Sladen. You never know when it's going to happen. You could be in a church service. They could be at some conference. It could be at student prayer time. Oh, but Sister Amber, you probably have seen it as well there. But when those students are praying, they have that encounter with God. That again, that encounter, yes, they're filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized. But when they get up off of that floor or when they stand up, there's been an encounter that they're different. They're never the same. Some of their hopes and aspirations are changed. No longer career driven. No longer just looking to make money in this world. But I've got to do something for the Lord. I've got to make a difference in my world. I've got to see Christ displayed in my life to touch others with the gospel. Why am I passionate about it? We are living in the closing days of time. I've heard it since I can remember as a child. My dad preaching on the coming of the Lord. But this is our hour. This is our day. This is our moment, church, that we can step up and we can fulfill what God wants us to do. Not only in Scotland, not only in Bangladesh, but right here in St. Louis, Missouri, to leave a profound impact that shakes the powers of hell. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. This is one of the best self-help books you ever going to come across. Now, I'm not talking about if you want to become a mechanic. I haven't found yet, you know, what spanner to use in here. What is that right spanner, right? Hey, man, what spanner or wrench, I think you call it. You know, haven't found out yet if you want to be a good surgeon in here. But I have found out if you want to make a marriage work. It's a pretty good handbook. I found out if we're sick in body, pretty good handbook. They shall lay hands on the sick. I found out when we realize that we're lost and undone, there's a way of salvation. I found out it can show us how to be successful. And that doesn't mean we got wads of money in our pocket, but we can be successful. I found out this is a good manual on relationships. I found out this is a good manual, and the list goes on and on and on. But it's allowing myself to take that word internally and applying it into my life. Jesus be the Lord of all the kingdoms of my heart. And if you don't think you have a kingdom in your heart somewhere, just let the preacher get up here or some little dear young person get up here. And I'll tell you what, these young folks, when they get to speaking, and I'm going to stop because we got other things to do. But again, when these young people in the Bible school, they have to speak on Wednesday nights and take their 10 minutes. And it's incredible what nuggets of gold these young people come up with again, you know, and speak into our lives and heart. And maybe somebody will stand in this pulpit and you've come to church. You didn't drive through the car wash, but you've been, you know, got a good shower and you look good, tired in body. But somebody gets to preaching and they just touch a nerve in you. Many years ago, I preached a message called about Don't Touch My Cow. We got sacred cows in our life. Now, there was a country, I don't know if this is on whatever, but there's a country that my wife and I visited. Brother, you know, let me just say this to you folks. Now, last night, all these nations she talked about we visited, that wasn't on holiday. Because Brother Sladen's here. Don't you tell him how many. Dear Lord, amen. Those were prayer trips. No, I better behave. But there is a country in the world you don't touch your cow, or we may not see you again. Just don't touch my cow. We are in that country. We were in Sri Lanka for a conference, and my wife thought, "I'll never get down to this part of the world again," so she wanted to see the Taj Mahal. Is that how you say it right? Yeah, I'm just a farm boy from Eastern Ohio. That's, you know. I finally got my high school diploma the other day. You think I'm, no. My brother, okay, I'm hurrying, honey. I'm hurrying, okay. So I'm just a farm boy from Eastern Ohio. So anyway, she said, "We're never going to be down this way again, and I want to see that." So we went to see it. And I told her right up front, don't get any ideas. Because that Taj Mahal is built guy built it for his wife that died. So I said, just don't get any ideas. It's not going to happen. But when we're driving through there, you got to, you know, zip around, you know, because of cows that are in the streets, literally in the street. Traffic just goes around them. You don't mess with them. They go where they want to go. You don't mess with the cattle, or they'll mess with you. I read a statistic several years ago. I tried to find it even today, but I couldn't find any update on it. But there's enough beef in that nation to feed the world 7 times over. It may be more now. Why am I saying it? Because don't touch my cow. Do you know there's enough in here? And I'm not talking money. I'm talking manpower, lady power, people power, to make more than ever before an impact in our world. We have more at our disposal to touch our world than ever before. But in order to do that, he's got to move into some areas of our life. And he may walk up to some things that are very sacred cows within our life that will say, Jesus, we had an agreement, but you just broke the agreement. We don't touch this in my life because this is from my granny and my mammy. This goes way back. This is whatever. You don't touch this in my life. Can I just say, folks, if we can really be open and honest to the Holy Ghost, Lord, if there's anything in my life that I'm holding near and dear, that I feel is sacred, God, I want to offer that to you. I want to release it unto you. That, Lord, I want to be totally free. You can use me however you want to. If you're not part of the prayer ministry of this church, it's very easy to pray in this church because somebody's paved the way. Last night it was so evident in this building. It's not really hard to pray in this church because somebody has sacrificed, paid the way. When you come in, there's just some churches you can worship, you can do your thing, but Brother Williford, it's just easy to pray in here. But it's cost somebody something. It's cost somebody something to create that atmosphere. And those who are still doing that, please continue. Somebody came to my wife and I believe it was Brother Skip last night. You don't know how this just, oh God. You see, it's more than just your money. He said, you know, every morning, either when he got up at 4 on his way to work at 4, I can't remember, when he said, I pray for you every day. I know others have, but I think, oh God, there's people praying for us. And we're not even aware of it at times in their life. They could be doing so many other things. And I don't mean just to single him out. It's just what he came and told us last night. You don't know what that does. It's like, oh God, it's us. It's us together that we're working together, but it's a sacrifice. I don't know what it is, but I feel it strongly in the Holy Ghost. There's a river. There's a river that wants to flow forth of not only prayer, but other ministries and things. But you hold the key. I hold the key that as the Holy Ghost shines that light, it allows us to see in our life what else can be open to him, that he can bring something in that we can be more effective, our skill set, our ability, our talent. We're laborers together. We're laborers together. Thank you, Apostolic Pentecostal Church, for your investment in the United Kingdom and the other parts of the world that we work in and where you are. Others are laboring as well. Thank you. We cannot do it on our own, but you join with us to see it accomplished. I was going to use it tonight, but I'm going to stop. Brother Williford, you need to come, or whoever's taking this. One of the good things to do is the Bible makes us aware that the Word is a mirror. And every now and then, I ask him for a mirror. I didn't even use it, but every now and then, we need to take a look in the mirror and see where we are. Can I say, most homes, when you either walk in the home or you're walking out of the home, you usually have a mirror. So as you begin the day, you kind of take one last look. Is it tie on right? How do I look? Is the hair parted all right? Did I do it on the right side this time? Sometimes we just need to stop and let the Word open it and say, speak to me, let me see. And we can't be rude, but have you ever just looked at somebody who's been out in a windstorm and their hair's kind of this way and every which way, and you walk in and my wife says, have you looked in the mirror lately? Sometimes the Holy Ghost says, have you looked in the mirror lately? Have you looked in the mirror lately to see, to examine, to look? Jesus, just be the Lord of all.